Higher Human Performance, the podcast, episode 269, How to Work for a Jerk. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Higher Human Performance. You can find the show notes over at the website, higherhumanperformance.com. Just plug in the number 269 up in the search this website box, and it'll take you right there to the associating blog post for today's show. Included right up front, a very large photograph of Vito Genovese, the crime boss. Says a guy from Oklahoma and Texas and Louisiana who's not Italian. Crime boss. Well, hopefully the jerk that you work for is not a crime boss. I would not hope that you are in a life of crime. Welcome to the show. You can find all sorts of ways to reach me and find out more about what I do. The show is, as always, brought to you by my company, Bula Network, LLC. Bula Network is an executive coaching and consulting firm. Bula is a Fiji term. No, not from Fiji. It means both hello and goodbye, but mainly it means life. Life is good. I think it is. So I named my company after that term. Click that about link over at the website, higherhumanperformance.com, and it'll tell you most everything you need to know. There's a link called Who I Work With and various another sundry sorts of things. I'm glad that you're here, and I hope you don't work for a jerk, but if you do work for a jerk, I'm going to tell you how you can do it more effectively. It's all relative. It is all relative. From 1957 to 1969, you could have been employed by Vito Genovese, head of the crime family. I'm betting that he was worse than any boss you have ever had. And I know that doesn't make you feel any better about your mean boss, though. And I probably should make a distinction here, because a lot of people say, my boss, man, he's just so mean. You can have a mean boss who's not a jerk. Most jerk bosses have some kind of a mean element. So I purposefully picked the word jerk and not mean for the subject of today's show and for the title. This podcast is about higher human performance, especially in the areas of leadership, running effective organizations, and operating profitable businesses. The Genovese crime family, they remain one of the most powerful and organized groups in the country. And according to newspaper accounts and books and magazine articles, and I've long been fascinated with the mafia. Should I have divulged that? Too much information? According to nearly all accounts, barely more than a handful of family members of this particular crime family have ever turned state's evidence against the organization, which is remarkable. Just remarkable in a time when most crime families have been just decimated with multiple arrests and convictions that were brought about by insiders who decided to turn state's evidence against their bosses. If your company or your organization began sometime after 1931, then you're not as old as the Genovese crime family. Charlie, otherwise known as Lucky Luciano, he is credited with starting an organization that would take crime to brand new heights of profitability, new heights of efficiency. And this September the 10th, it will have been 84 years since Lucky Luciano created his own luck by murdering a man who was the reigning dictator of the group. He was autocratic, he was difficult, and so Luciano, he conspired to knock the guy off. Now, that is not my answer to today's show title of How to Work for a Jerk, Kill Him. That's what Lucky did. But it does show you how one tough boss can see the destruction in another and yet overlook his own. And history provides lots and lots of stories of dictators, both political and organizational dictators, who knocked off their predecessor. Well, in one way or another, maybe they did kill them, but reduced them, knocked them off of power, only to replace them with their own brand of tyranny. It's not tyranny when it's your own behavior. When it's you, you're not a jerk. Tyrants don't much like working for tyrants. And I suppose most tyrants don't see themselves for what they really are, though. Most jerks don't see themselves for what they really are. I do suspect I have no clue about such things when it comes to organized crime. I rather suspect crime bosses know the power of tyranny, and so I'm guessing they embrace it. I mean, how could you not? If murder and larceny and theft and drugs and prostitution and other crimes, if that's your way of life, I don't imagine you're too terribly concerned with employee engagement, are you? I doubt high morale is a real topic of conversation in the little Italian restaurant where you gather your minions and strategize your business. I can't imagine Vito saying to his lieutenants, "Does everybody feel good? Is everybody engaged?" Yeah, you know, they know how to take care of a lack of engagement, and it's not done the way that you or I would do it. You're not restricted by just whacking your competition or opponents. You'll whack any of your own people if they get out of line. I mean, if they're not engaged, you know what to do. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, you and me, well, we have to go visit the director of HR. We have to make sure that we're being polite, respectful, professional. Vito, he didn't have those kinds of restrictions. I'm a fan of good biographies. Come to think of it, I can enjoy even a bad biography every now and again. Well, like Vito's story. Or Lucky Luciano. Bad people, they can give us some great stories. I am not suggesting that we emulate these people. Okay, your boss is a jerk. A class A, and you know what the A stands for. Jerk. Maybe he's a dictator. Maybe she's autocratic. Maybe he's not supportive. Maybe she's overbearing and judgmental. He might be a yeller. Hollers all the time. She might be hateful, mean. Maybe he's belittling. Or she could be cold and lack any compassion, just no empathy at all. Bad bosses, jerks, they come in all shapes, sizes, dispositions, and genders, and they're not all created equal. Some of them, they would peg a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. Others, they're a strong 7. Or worse, or slightly better. But a mean boss who is a jerk can also be a 1. They're still jerks, and they're still counter to your well-being. Mean bosses can be productive. Jerks can be productive. You don't want to believe that. I know you don't want to believe that, but it's true. Vito was effective, mostly because, well, you didn't mess with him. And live. And when murder and violence are workable options, it's real difficult to foil effectiveness. We want to believe that jerks can't succeed or that jerks can't be effective leaders, but they can, and they often are. And that doesn't mean that it's the best way to go. It just means that we can't be naive to think that if people don't do things with high character, with high integrity, then they can't possibly be high achievers. Yes, they can. Evil people can achieve spectacular results through their poor behavior. Drug lords do it. Crime bosses do it. Dictators do it. Hackers do it. We've been reading a whole lot lately about just the success of hackers. Con men, they do it. Corporate titans who lack honesty and integrity, they do it all the time. That doesn't make it right, nor does it mean that they serve as the best template for high performance. Back in 1990, I was browsing through a bookstore, my favorite pastime at the time, and I noticed a book. Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun. It wasn't the first book of that sort. Won't be the last either. I mean, people will read leadership books about almost anybody or any strategy because many of us are constantly searching for better methods. And that book sold, I don't know how many copies. There's a photograph of the cover. And at the time, the cover says over 500,000 copies in print. I guarantee it's more than that. I have a copy. I admit it. I have a copy. I think it's utterly, colossally ridiculous, but I do have a copy. I don't ask me why. Why do you buy books like that? But today's show is not about extolling the virtues of being a jerk or behaving like Attila the Hun. It's about how to work for a jerk. How can you work for a jerk? And I don't advocate jerkdom as a good leadership model. If you're a military dictator or you're a mafia crime boss, then okay, it suits your line of work. If you're running a business or an organization with above board goals, then you're going to need more integrity-based leadership tactics and styles. But sometimes good people, productive people with high character, they do find themselves stuck working for a jerk. So if that's you, what can you do? What do you do? Now, let me give you a minor disclaimer here. Don't worry. It's not going to be much of a disclaimer. One size won't fit all. Jerks come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, as I said earlier. They come in a wide variety of forms and formats. Some are loud and brash. Others, they're passive aggressive. Some, they holler, they yell, they carry on like madmen. And other people, well, they dispatch henchmen to do their dirty work. Takes all kinds. And you may have a jerk boss who is very different than somebody else. And so first, I think I need to define the term jerk. A jerk boss is somebody who is a constraint. They're the bottleneck to productivity. They're an impediment to innovation, to progress, to success. People would do better work if they didn't exist. Now, they may contribute some positive things, but their negative impact far outweighs any positive attributes they might have. Merely removing the jerk boss will likely cause productivity, morale, and achievement to soar. Now, the jerk isn't just some impolite, rude-behaving leader. They use power to abuse people. They feed their own paranoia with their position and their authority. Very frequently, I sit down with people, one or more people, usually in a small group, and I'll inquire about how they feel about the boss. And I'll usually ask a question, is he a constraint to your performance, or is he a solution to your constraints? Or maybe I'll put it another way, does the boss knock down roadblocks that get in your way, or is your boss a roadblock? Now, that may not be how you think about the term jerk, but hey, it's my podcast, so it's my definition. So with that in mind, let me give you just a few suggestions to help you work for a jerk. And yeah, today's show is kind of intended to talk you off the ledge, and it's also intended for those of you that might be a boss. Think about your own degree of jerkdom. Number one, don't do it if you can help it. How do you work for a jerk? Don't do it if you can help it. Now, this is easier if you have options. And it's also easier if you hate working for the jerk and you hate what you're doing, I think it can be easier. Because to me, it's very, very sad to see a person who, they love their work. They even love their organization. They love their job. They just can't stand who they're doing it for. Because they're working for a jerk. That is a really tough spot, and I don't have any easy answers for you if you're in that situation. Usually, I will urge people, if you love your work, dive into your work. take pride in your work, take pride in your accomplishments, remain devoted to doing the best work possible. And you're going to hear that theme throughout this short podcast today. Do good work. Keep your job. Don't quit. Now, make plans to find an alternative. Get busy chasing an exit option. Find another organization where you can do your work in an environment that fosters productivity. And if you're in a big organization and you can go to another division, if there's openings that you're qualified for and you'd like to get out of your team onto another team, do that. Do not become jaded. Don't fuss and fume. Don't do it where you're at, the current job. Don't whine and moan and complain. And don't do it when you're interviewed for a new job. Man, I've seen way too many people who, at an interview, they think it's therapy. They don't see the interview for what it really is. They go in and they're complaining about their boss. And they're whining. They're moaning. It's a job interview. You're not on a therapist's couch. Don't use your job interview as therapy. You aren't looking for a new job because your boss is a jerk. No. You're hungry for a new opportunity with a high performance organization. Yes. You have to be politically correct. Yes, you have to say the right things. Nobody wants to hire a person who's bringing a sour outlook to the job. Nobody wants to hire a person who may appear difficult or ornery. And sometimes, and I've seen it happen way more often than not, people who work for a jerk, they get ornery. The jerk kind of wears off on us. Okay, don't let that happen. So step one, working for a jerk, don't do it if you can help it, and try to help it. Get gone. Meanwhile, keep your job. Number two, steer toward what you can do, not what you can't. Okay, meanwhile, back at the ranch, keep your head down. Don't draw unnecessary attention to yourself or to your work. It's a little bit like the kid in class, you know, doesn't make eye contact with the teacher because you don't want to be called on. Okay, you can't be that obvious about it. But there's no point in going out of your way to provoke a jerk. Be competitive and show your jerk boss that you're going to do remarkable work no matter what. And if you need a mantra at work, there it is. I've just given it to you. And this is really the point of today's show. The phrase, no matter what. Do great work no matter what. Get along with others no matter what. Be an exemplary employee no matter what. Now, hold your cards close to your vest. Don't share anything about your search for a new job with coworkers. Keep your mouth shut because you can't afford the jerk boss to find out. And guess what? People talk. Don't give them anything to talk about. That includes spreading poison around the workplace, venting to coworkers about your boss and how big a jerk your boss is and the latest escapade that your boss pulled. That isn't going to help anybody. Complaining isn't going to help. Instead, what you need to do is contribute with a positive suggestion and all kinds of positive suggestions of things that you and the team can do in spite of the problems that the jerk boss might present. I mean, when the team is venting about the latest outbreak of yelling and hollering, you need to be the person to step up and say, listen, we know what set him off. Okay, we weren't all communicating as clearly with each other and helping each other like we should. And if we'll make sure that we're all staying in the loop with each other, then maybe we can prevent that from happening so frequently. So let's start making sure we're helping each other more. Now, it's almost, not always, but almost always possible to steer a negative gripe session toward more positive actions. And you need to be the person that does that. Now, I'm not talking about a rose-colored glasses thing. I'm not talking about somebody who comes in as a spin doctor. I'm talking about somebody who has concrete suggestions and is realistic. Find realistic solutions so that you and the team can focus on productive actions instead of complaining. Because come on, let's face it. You have to manage your boss. Remember, you can't control your boss, jerk or not, so don't try. You can only control yourself, and you can influence your coworkers. Maybe you can even influence your boss. Commit yourself to make a positive difference, because any fool can lead a gripe gut parade. Don't be that person. Don't be that person, because those people have no value in any organization. I wish I had, I don't know, maybe a dollar or less for all of the times in my career where I've heard someone and I've heard their work described as being either okay or in some cases even pretty good, but they're poisonous to the workplace. They're bad. And if I had a dollar or even a quarter for everybody that had a poisonous attitude and their work was bad, I'd even have more money. Because most people who do good work don't have a poisonous attitude. Some do. You don't want to be that person. You want to have a good disposition, and you want to do great work. You don't want to be a liability. And people who have a poisonous disposition, they're a liability. Nobody needs a liability. We need to get liabilities off of our profit and loss sheet. So don't be a loss. Be a profit. Number three, make a vital friend. Now, I know I said to keep your mouth shut, but you need somebody, a person with whom you can be honest. Find a vital friend at work. You've likely already got one. This is the person that you can trust. This is a confidant. They might be part of your team or not. It would, in my opinion, it would likely be ideal if they were outside your team, because that perspective can be helpful to you. Now, let me make a side note here. Make sure that your vital friend is not a complainer, a whiner, a moaner. Make sure that your vital friend is not a liability. If your vital friend is a liability, you're in big, big trouble. You don't need to have that kind of a person as a vital friend. It will not go well for you if you insist on making them or keeping them as a vital friend. We all need a vital friend at work. Tom Rath, years ago, he wrote a great book. I'll put a link to this in the show notes. Just higherhumanperformance.com. Go to episode 269. He wrote a great book entitled Vital Friends, The People You Can't Afford to Live Without. We all need vital friends in our life, and that includes at work. These are people, this is going to be a person that you can bounce things off of. You can talk things over with them. You can ask for their feedback. And don't just follow all their advice, but listen and assess the situation for yourself and make your own decisions, because this is your life. This is your career. It's not theirs. And sometimes just being able to talk about it can help lower our frustration. Don't make your boss and you and your career, don't make that the focal point of your relationship, though, and your friendship. I mean, you'll quickly lose your vital friend if it's always all about you and your problems with your boss. So you need to be a vital friend in return. And there's great benefit to that. There's great benefit to getting your focus off of yourself and onto helping other people. So I'm going to encourage you to invest in helping other people. It can make us feel better, even about our bad situations. Number four, brace yourself. Serve your boss. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's important. If you go back and you remember the phrase, no matter what, your boss rose to power somehow. Now, you need to assume that he or she, they're good at something that the higher-ups value. Somebody sees some value in this person. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And maybe it used to exist, and maybe it's gone now. But just like you and every other employee who was hired, somebody saw something worthy of hiring you. Somebody saw something worthy in hiring the other people that you're working with. Now, in the case of your boss, the organization, they saw something worthy of promotion. Well, or your boss is the son of the owner, in which case you really need to step up your efforts to find another job and get gone. Failing to serve your boss, though, that won't end well for you. Now, you're going to be tempted to think, well, if I make my boss look good, then he'll just get credit for our good work and he'll stay the boss, or worse yet, they'll promote him. Maybe you're right. But I have a problem with that kind of logic because it's too focused on the negative. And it's foolish because you're not considering your own career. You're too focused on the boss. Do poor work in hopes that it'll make your boss look bad, and here's what I can guarantee you. You will suffer for it. Bosses rarely pay any price for the poor performance of a subordinate because here's what they do. They fire them. They fire them. Bosses don't tend to attribute your poor performance to themselves. You're the one doing that. It's a bad, bad strategy. Do not employ that strategy. And don't try to change your boss. That's not your job, and that's not what I mean when I say serve your boss. Your job is to serve your boss by doing great work, by keeping your boss informed, and by being the most valuable employee possible. Your boss is your number one customer. I don't care if they're a jerk or not. They are your number one customer. So instead, commit to do great work no matter what. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what. That's your mantra. Do everything you can to serve your boss. If you can be a high achiever for a jerk, then guess what? You're becoming somebody with high, high value. When you're making a positive difference while everybody else is letting the jerk distract them, making the jerk create this moaner, this complainer, and you're not doing that, well, you're focused on doing your best in spite of the difficulties. And if you'll develop those skills and that mindset, that's going to propel your career forward to new heights, heights that you may not have ever thought were possible, all because you're working for a jerk. Life's full of challenges. And I don't care where you're working. I don't care what the purpose of your organization is. There are hurdles and there are challenges in your world, in your professional world, that will foil success because every organization has them. Every organization has got constraints and roadblocks and speed bumps and issues. Your organization, like all organizations, needs people willing and capable of overcoming those challenges to do superior work and to deliver superior results. Some of those challenges, yes, they're internal. Many of them are external. If you can become one of the people who can overcome these internal challenges and the external challenges, well, you're going to have far wider choices in your career. Number five, endure whatever you must for as long as you must. I'm going to tell you to make a game of it because jerks only win if they beat you down. And so you just need to refuse to quit unless you've got a new job waiting. Refuse to do poor work. Refuse to complain or whine. Refuse to be distracted. Your mental toughness, sure, going to be tested. Embrace the test. View the boss as a competitor capable of beating you down if you slow down or if you stop and don't give in. You keep doing the right thing so that you win. Listen, this isn't about making your boss lose. You can't serve your boss with that attitude. You've got to be committed to winning for you and for your family and for your organization. And it's going to demand all the focus and all the tenacity that you can muster. Well, depending on how big of a jerk you're working for. And if you're working for a really big jerk, yeah, it's going to test you. Let me give you one final piece of advice, because I think this is important. Own your performance. Own your performance. The best strategy is to do great work no matter what. Don't use your jerk boss as an excuse for why you're failing. Succeed anyway. If a jerk boss foils your success, then you're not valuable enough to be highly sought after. You're among the big herd of people who make the claim that they would do great work if only for this or only for that. And if only this would happen, and if only that would happen, I'd be great. And if only the boss would do this or that, then I could do great work. Listen, the world is filled with people like that. The world is filled with excuse makers, complainers, and whiners. Join them at your own peril. No, I'm telling you, stand apart from the herd by being exceptional. Prove that you can do great work even for a jerk. And imagine, just imagine how valued you're going to be when you're not working for a jerk. And there it is. Episode 269, How to Work for a Jerk. I'm not saying it's comprehensive, but hopefully it talks you off the ledge and sets you on a path that's more positive. That's kind of the point. Because here it is all about higher human performance. Again, visit the website, higherhumanperformance.com. I'd love it if you would subscribe to the podcast. At the bottom of the show notes for today's episode, actually for every episode, there's all kinds of ways that you can subscribe to the podcast. And there's even a link where, if you care, to leave a review over at iTunes. And I would love it if you would do that. It would help us. It would help us reach more people. And that's kind of the goal, to help other people achieve higher human performance. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, from a little space with walls that are painted yellow that I call the Yellow Studio.